How's that? Can you hear me now? Excellent. Excellent. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this evening, share some thoughts. There's always a lot of things to talk about as we choose, and you hear other people say it as well. So these are just some things that have been on my mind lately, and I want to share some thoughts with you. We'll start by reading some scripture. If you want to turn with me, Luke 16. Let's go to Luke 16. We'll start in verse 19. Luke 16, starting in verse 19. We'll read through the end of the chapter. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you would not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Now that's a little bit, that last sentence, that if, even if someone rises from the dead, that might be a little bit hard for us to believe, right? Because we can kind of visualize if we were by ourselves somewhere, maybe you go camping, maybe you're just in your backyard, whatever, and the heavens opened up and there was a light like Paul experienced, and God spoke and said something to you, or if someone you knew was dead came to you and said, "You got to do this," then we would say to ourselves, "That's amazing. That's a miracle. That's proof that God exists. I'll do whatever they say." But here, Jesus speaking says that if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't pay attention to that either. So that's a little bit hard, but true. How many people do you know that, I started to say know the truth, maybe a better way to put it is, how many people do you know who have been presented with something that makes their situation obvious, but they ignore it? So that's what we're going to talk about just a little bit tonight. Before we move on, I want to point out a couple of things about this scripture, this passage we just read. First of all, I'm going to make an assumption that I think is justified, that Lazarus and this rich man were Israelites, that they knew the law. They had been taught the law, because he refers to Abraham as Father Abraham. And Abraham seems to imply that they have had the opportunity to know God's word, God's will from the Old Testament. So, and this doesn't have a lot of bearing on what we're going to talk about, but it is important to think about simply because now we see that this man, this rich man, is suffering. He's in torment, in anguish. These are the words that are used. In the flame. And so here he is, regretting the decisions that he made while alive. So that's important to note. Important to note that he's in pain, that he regrets it. And he doesn't want it for his brothers. How many of you, changing gears just a little, know somebody who plays soccer? Child, grandchild, friend, neighbor. As we grow from childhood, we begin to learn how to think about the future. Okay? Stay with me here. So, Lazarus, we're not told a lot about his life. We're not told a lot about the rich man's life. But apparently they were taught something. The rich man didn't do something. Since the story is told that Lazarus is poor and the rich man is rich, and Lazarus was desiring to eat just whatever fell off his table, I think we can come to a conclusion that the rich man did not take care of the poor. The rich man did not do good works. The rich man did not serve God by helping others. Okay. He wasn't thinking about the future, right? That's where I'm going. Thinking about the future. Now, soccer player. You know what happens when you're on the soccer field and you have to go to the bathroom? You say, "Coach, I got to go." And the coach says, "You should have thought of that before you got out here. Play." Right? And then all of a sudden, he's out there standing like that. Because he didn't think about the future. And this is what we do as we grow up as kids. We get taught lessons about, "I should have thought of that." So he says, "Next time I'll stop by the bathroom first." How many times does that have to happen before that child on the way out the door to soccer goes, "Wait a minute, I'm going to go over here." How many times? Not very many. The child learns. Through what? The child learns through pain. The pain of standing there needing to go, right? You learn. It could be that mom or dad said, "Don't forget to go to the bathroom before you go to soccer," and they didn't really think about it, didn't pay attention, right? Just one little example here to carry our thought of thinking to the future. Thinking to the future. So as we grow, we begin to learn these things. Now, sometimes we don't think about the future simply out of ignorance. We don't realize what's coming. And as a child going to soccer, you haven't had the experience yet to maybe know, or you're just not paying attention, or you don't realize what the need is going to be. That happens at times, right? Let's talk about cataracts. Who's had cataract surgery? Anybody? No? A couple? Okay, a couple of hands. Okay, not that I know of, I don't know that I have any cataract, but my understanding is that over time, it impacts your eyesight, can't see as well, and over time, if it takes a while, you can forget what really good vision is like, right? You might even, if you don't know about cataracts, let's pretend for just a minute we're 1,000 years ago. We don't know what a cataract is. We don't know there's something you can do about it. We don't know how. It's just something that happens with life. You get older, you start not being able to see. Some worse than others. I can't see. Well, that's life. That's what's around me. It just happens. I don't know I can do anything about it. So I'm ignorant. Now, I can't do anything about it early in life, necessarily. I don't know, maybe there's a diet, but that's not the point with this. The point is that I can have things change in my life along the way that I'm not really paying a whole lot of attention to. So I don't really realize that I have a need, is the point. Now, sometimes people don't connect the dots. John and Harris. John Harper and Harris Waterman, relatively close in age. We used to kind of laugh when they were younger, saying, you know, sometimes those wires in their head just don't connect. They're not catching that if they do this, this is going to happen. Consequences of our actions. So we got a couple of things. Sorry, I saw Mom grinning really big. Like maybe it's going on at her house, I don't know. So we don't always think about the future. We don't recognize what's coming. We don't recognize why. Because we just don't know. Okay? I don't want to belabor this one too much. Desensitized. Sometimes we get desensitized, right? We're around an environment that is so full of something else, we get so used to it that we are no longer shocked or embarrassed. For time, I'm not going to go to Jeremiah, but in Jeremiah, he talks about briefly the fact that the ears are no longer hearing. They're not committed to hearing. And the environment that they're in there is so bad, and they've gotten so used to it that they don't even know how to blush anymore. So this one might affect anybody, right? It could affect me as a Christian. It could affect someone as a non-Christian, depending on where we are and who we're with all the time. But you know what? Pain teaches us lessons. It does. Pain teaches us lessons. So that if I'm hanging around people that desensitize me, I may do something that changes my life in a way that I don't want. I may do something that causes me physical pain. I may do something that causes a loved one physical pain or emotional pain. How many times does it take before we learn from that? So now let's jump back to Lazarus and the rich man. So the rich man is in torment. And he wants his brothers to know, don't live like I did. Well, we're not given any information about how he lived or how he didn't live. But there's a way that God wants us to live. There's a way that God expects us to serve. I can't tell you how we might learn from our mistakes. But there's pain involved. As we learn and we grow up as children, we learn that parents sometimes have good advice and the Bible has good advice. Because, you know what? From the time when we're teenagers and say, I'll do it my own way, and the time we're maybe in our 20s, we get enough pain in there to go, wait a second. Maybe I will ask Mom and Dad how to do this. We learn. And the pain teaches us. So how about potholes? You should have seen all the potholes we saw on the way home from Nashville today. The ice has really tore the interstate up. But you know what? If you're not looking out pretty far, all of a sudden, you go, boom, and you're worried about your tires, right? You gotta be looking out there. If you're looking right in front of the car, you're not going to be able to respond. You gotta be looking out there. You gotta be looking at the future and what is coming. Stuff is coming. It's coming at you. And next time, after you hit one, the first one, you say, I gotta look out there and see where I'm It's just a reaction. So, potholes are coming at you. You might be distracted. You might be distracted from a conversation in the car, turning on the radio, whatever. But they're coming, and if you're not looking out there and be ready. So, Proverbs 14:16 says that the wise turn from evil, but the foolish get hurt. The wise turn from evil, but the foolish get hurt. Because they're not looking out there. They're just looking right here. Looking right now. What is this like? Man, this road's great. It's nice and smooth. And they don't see that coming. Why? Because they're not looking to God's will, God's word. They're not listening maybe to their parents. They're not looking to people who are wiser than they are. And they don't see what's coming. Don't mean to be pointing at you, Dan. They don't see what's coming. And they get hurt. Some people are considering an alternative to doing God's will. I have a customer out there, just for a short story. I had a customer a few years ago. I won't tell the whole thing. I presented a proposal that would cost them about $35,000. But it would save him $15,000 every month. A little over 2 months is paid for. But he didn't do it. I asked him, do you not believe it? He said, oh yeah, I believe it. But he didn't do it. And the reason why was he kept considering alternatives. Well, maybe I'll do this instead. Well, I don't know, maybe there's another way. Maybe I'll do this. And he kept going around in circles. It was a long time ago. Maybe he's done it by now. I don't know. But at least a year and a half later, he had not. So people get caught up sometime in just considering alternatives. Some people are just rebellious. They say, you can't tell me how to live my life. Anybody heard that? Just rebellious. Now, I will admit that there are for sure times as a parent when I was closer to demanding something than instructing and teaching something. And that can cause a child to respond like that instead of being taught. So we got to be careful as parents to try to teach our children instead of just demand from them. But as children, physically and as spiritual children, we have to be ready to accept instruction. And even accept those instructions that we don't understand. Sometimes identity can play a part, right? Who do I think I am? Am I that kind of person? Am I the kind of person that is okay telling my friends that I'm going to a Bible study on a Friday night? Am I the kind of person who will stand up and say, well, I can't go to that practice. I have a religious activity or event or church or whatever you want to call it that is really more important to me right now. Am I the kind of person that will do that? Or am I the kind of person that is part of this group that I identify with that really wouldn't understand that? What is my identity for myself that I determine for myself? But as we grow, pain teaches us. Because if I identify myself with this group, then I tend to follow the group, and I can get myself in trouble. And many of us in the room have experienced that, getting ourselves in trouble simply because we were going along with the group. Many of us have experienced pain from distraction, both physically and spiritually, not focusing on where we're headed, either being comfortable or not wanting to pay attention to the future. And we learn again that parents are good advice givers and the Bible is useful. But you know what? There are others who have just given up. There are people, Christians and non-Christians alike, who through some situation have determined that they are not worthy or that they are not able to please God. And this is a sad situation. It's wonderful to be able to talk to someone who's interested in godly things, and you can have a conversation. Even if you walk away disagreeing, it feels good because you were able to communicate and talk about it. But some people, they just can't bring themselves to hardly talk about it now because they have given up. They've given up because the things they've done in their life, they can't imagine God forgiving them. Now, we have an opportunity to teach them. To teach them that none of us are worthy. You know, there are many groups, I'll say religious groups, who make a tradition and practice of what you might call witnessing. And in that practice, they'll tell a story about themselves. This is what I used to be like. Just like Paul admitted what he used to be like. And there's a lot of value in that. There's a lot of value in me understanding where you came from, that you're not worthy any more than I am. And there's a lot of value in you understanding where I came from and that I'm not any more worthy than you are. Because people relate to that. And none of us are worthy. People we know are in that situation. The elders have challenged us this year to help people out of that situation. Both people who are interested and scared to be interested. Hopefully, sometime soon, we will work together on that. One of the things to do is help them to understand you're almost there. You're almost there because your feeling of being unworthy is a form of humility. You recognize where you are. There are some in the church who have forgotten where they came from. I'm not saying that's any of you. But there are some who have forgotten where they started. And we need to remember where we started. And when we do, we can help all of these. We can help the people who are distracted. We can help the people who are scared. We can help the people who just don't know yet. Because at one point, I didn't know either. At one point, I was scared, and I'm still not worthy. Let's go to Jeremiah 6. Let's read just 16 through 21. And Jeremiah is telling about this coming destruction that God's bringing. But he talks about it here in this section in a way is talking more about the people and God's reaction to them. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Let me point out, he says, ask for the ancient paths. In other words, look for good instruction. Where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I will set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my word. And as for my law, they have rejected it. What use to me is frankincense that comes from Sheba, or sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay before this people stumbling blocks against which they shall stumble. Fathers and sons together, neighbors and friends will perish. Let's go back to Lazarus and the rich man. They were apparently taught. They were apparently given instruction about what God is looking for from his people. The rich man was, maybe we could say, distracted by his riches. But he apparently didn't give and help the poor. He didn't help those around him. He didn't do good works. He didn't do what God expected. Now, in Jeremiah, we see that God is a generous God. God wants to give us comfort and joy. God wants us to all be with him. And he offers it, prepares it, and says, come to me. Live like this. It's not a rule book for follow these steps and you'll be there, because we still won't be worthy just by following steps, right? But he does say, live like this. Not only will that lead you to me, it will give you a great life. But if you don't, then you will not be with me, he said. And in fact, we see that it won't be a good place. So we have two lessons to walk away with tonight. One is that as Christians and non-Christians, we need to remember that God is looking for us to serve him, to serve in general. When we serve God, when we serve others, we serve God. He's looking for us to serve. The other lesson is we have something that we can give, and that is that we can help those who are not part of the family of God obtain that wonderful blessing. I can't say I've done a great job about that. I try, but I can't say I've done a great job. I'd like to do better. So we've got those things today. Now, I coupled Christians and non-Christians together just a minute ago. And as Christians that are in this room, we do need to walk away ready to do more of God, of what God wants us to do. As non-Christians, anybody in the room, you're in a very scary place. We want to help you feel comforted with joy. We want to help you know that one of these days, we're all going to be in heaven together. I understand the ladies' Bible class did a lesson recently about heaven. And it's hard to understand. The writers in the Bible have given us a few things to try to paint a picture, but it's all painted with things we can understand, physical attributes that probably won't be very close to what it even is, just because it's not going to be a physical kingdom. But we can be there together. And Lisa pointed out to me that it won't be glorious simply because it's a beautiful city. It'll be glorious because we'll be in the presence of God. Who wants that? You don't have to raise your hands, but yeah, thanks. I do. I sure don't want the alternative. So, we need to work together. We got to work together to help each other there, because we saw the place where our company, those who are around us, our environment makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. So we got to be there for each other. And we got to be there for those who don't know, who just don't know, because they're suffering. They're in pain now. Might be about like cataracts. They don't realize that it's really bad. And then they get it fixed and they go, I can see. How many of your friends would you love to hear them say, I finally understand what I've been missing? We just need to remember they're missing something and help them with it. Let's do that together. And for any of you here that aren't Christians, we want to help you today. Not tomorrow. We'll help you tomorrow, but we want to help you now. Why would you not? I want to help you now. So if you're in that situation, please, let us help you. Come forward as we stand.